It's time for my Already Monday Morning Conversation. Ben Parsons, the man for land from RE/MAX Property Pros, is with me now. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Jeff.
Conversation number two this morning. We can go a little bit more at length. We'll touch on the topics we touched on earlier, and we'll also, for those of us that weren't here earlier, I was only partway here earlier. I think I'm here all the way now.
Okay. Good.
So for those of us who weren't all the way here earlier, we're all here now. And so we'll go into a whole bunch of stuff here this morning. So Ben Parsons, tell us a little bit about yourself personally first, and why you chose RE/MAX Property Pros to work with here when you got to town.
Oh, my gosh. So a little about myself. 20-year forestry career. Ended up getting into real estate accidentally. It was going to be a side gig as a forester to help my land management clients. And next thing you know, I'm in real estate full-time. This is my sixth year as a realtor, so I've been in it for 6 years, and in 2020, made the switch full-time. So I still do some forestry work on the side, but real estate has kept me so busy, it's extremely rare.
So looking back, all of us at one time or another in our lives, we make a life decision, which direction we're going to go in. You feel that you took the right road?
Absolutely.
Good.
Yeah. RE/MAX is probably the number one real estate brand internationally around the world. It's the most recognized name out there. And so no matter where I go, I've always got connections. And just, gosh, we've got the Northwoods covered with 5 offices throughout.
Right,
our area with our franchise.
So that's what one of my next questions was going to be, because RE/MAX is spread out all across the Northwoods. People that locally here that know you from the radio, but you're familiar with land all over the area. You can help people find their dream piece of land or dream property anywhere in our Northwoods.
Absolutely. So during the years spent as a forester in the Northwoods, it was not uncommon for me to drive well over 100 miles for a logging operation, or to mark some timber, or to provide some land management advice throughout the UP and all of the Northwoods, but essentially from like Highway 29 north.
Okay.
Was kind of my forestry territory. So making that switch over to real estate, that the territory just felt like the same. So I've had listings as far south as oh, my gosh, Athens.
Okay.
We've had some property down there we've sold, and I'm not licensed in
It's
the
Athens, by the way. It's
oh,
Athens.
It is?
Athens.
Okay.
Yeah, down in that neck of the woods there, it's Athens, and down the road a bit, it's Meriton City.
Okay.
Just,
all right.
Just so you fit right in next time you're in the neighborhood down there.
All right.
If
I'll
you
have
say
to remember
Athens
that.
And Meriton City, they'll say, boy, he's been around here a long time.
Oh, well, thanks for the tip.
There you go. So you've got some property spread out right now. You talk about that stuff out by Crandon to the east, and down by Athens to the south. And so, yeah, 29 north, and that's your territory.
Yeah, I try to stick kind of between, you know, east-west. I try not to go further west than Highway 13, but I do on occasion, depending on the listing.
Okay.
West. So as far east as, you know, Highway 139, you know, that Long Lake,
yep,
Tipler
yep.
area. But I have gone over to Marinette before, and usually, Merrill is about as far south as I like to go.
Okay.
But again, we've gone down to Athens.
The reason that I want to bring this part out about you and what you like, your personality and such, is that because one thing I'm learning the more and more I deal with real estate folks, it's about a relationship between the buyer or seller and their agent. And we talk a lot about what you like to do for fun. We've been talking about turkey hunting and deer hunting and stuff like that. You share those stories. I think that makes it relatable for people looking for hunting land, especially people that might want to buy a stand of timber with your forestry background. I think bringing out these things about your personality and through these kind of discussions, I think that helps people make their decision, because there's a lot of great real estate people around here, but who are you going to match up with?
Yeah, exactly. And the one thing that I noticed getting into real estate and only being here for 14 years now, not lifelong, you know, I didn't go to high school here, so
right.
There's not a lot of childhood friends that mm-hmm. that I have in the area. Well, none, really.
Yep.
But it's real estate is one of those things where it's the business connections are who you know, not what you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one frustrating thing that I've experienced, is that when it comes to land and trees and soils and water quality and all that, I mean, I honestly, and I'm not trying to brag, but I honestly think I could run circles around any of my competition when it comes to knowing those things.
Sure.
And communicating with people and educating and making sure they're in the right property. However, there's a lot of times that, you know, I may lose a listing. It's like, man, you know, how in the world did I not get that listing, you know, represent that? Well, it's all about a who you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a big part of being on the radio with you, is, you know, reaching through the airwaves and getting to know our listeners, so that when we go to things like the home show, people recognize the voice and
sure.
they, oh, it's great to meet you. Now I've made that personal connection.
Yeah. I think, again, when I first started in the radio business, there wasn't a realtor in the Tri-County area up north who would even talk to me about advertising on the radio. Are you kidding me? We don't use radio for that. We use the newspaper. Things have changed a lot. Digital, online, and audio messages are really coming to the forefront for real estate. And I think it's good to see it. More diversified, getting the word out about you.
Absolutely. And this is something, you know, I'm personal about, because I'm an audio learner.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, hearing, you know, across the airwaves, whether I'm driving up and down the road or at the office with the radio on in the background, my ears tune in to what's going on in the background. So being an audio learner, it just seemed like a natural fit to be an audio advertiser.
I also see it as sowing seeds. Let's face it, a lot of times you need to be a certain age to buy real estate, especially a stand of land. And so as you're growing up and you listen to the radio and you hear Ben the Man for Land, and then finally you reach the point in your life where you're established, you got the family going, you got a good job, I'm finally ready to buy my dream piece of property. I've been listening to Ben all those years. It's time for me to call Ben the Man for Land.
Yep, that's how it works.
Yes. So we're sowing seeds here this morning, Ben.
Yeah, as the guy on the movie Oh Brother Where Art Thou, you know, we're mass communicating here.
Yes, and so let's get to that, because on the back of your business card, I've seen the front of your card, I didn't know there was anything on the back, but in our notes this morning, what's on the back of that business card? Where's it come from?
So I've got a mantra on the back of my business card, which through research I found out it's actually an old Hebrew proverb that says, he is not a full man who does not own a piece of land. And you know, one of my favorite movies is Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And that's okay. Where George Clooney is, you know, this guy that's escaping from a Mississippi prison. And, you know, he gets two guys to tag along with him, and with the promise of a hidden treasure. So he has companions. And in one of the scenes, they're sitting around a campfire, and they're talking about, what are you going to do with your share of the treasure? And a character named Delmar says, I'm going to slap that money on the desk at, you know, names the bank. And he says that I'm going to buy back the family farm. Follows up with, you ain't no kind of man unless you got land.
Got it.
And I thought, that is so cool. That's something that really stuck in my craw. And I did some research on it, because I thought, all right, I've got to use this quote somewhere and have Delmar in here. Well, that's when I discovered it was actually a saying.
Okay.
That movie is based on Homer's Odyssey, but it's like a Southern hillbilly version of Homer's Odyssey. So they've taken that Hebrew proverb and kind of redneckified it. And so I thought, man, that fits me more than anything. One of my favorite movies and one of my favorite quotes from that movie has now become my mantra.
And it's what you do, Ben the Man for Land, your other little nickname there, the Man for Land. And we just had a full circle moment here. Now it all comes together. Now we all get it.
It is. And the only thing I could add to it is that we do more than just land. So we residential houses, lakefront, commercial, farms. It's all included.
Now, for folks looking for a hunting property, which a lot of people up here are at all times, and they never know when their perfect piece of hunting property is going to become available, I like the fact that you're not only out there selling the land, but you're out there using land. So you know what it takes to be a successful turkey hunter. You know what it takes to be a successful deer hunter. And oftentimes people come up from the city. They've been up here on weekends. They don't know. They hear things. They see a few things, but they really don't know the nuts and bolts, the behind-the-scenes stuff. And that's, again, where you come in, really a boon to people that are looking for that perfect piece of hunting property.
Right. There is rarely a day goes by that I'm not in the woods a little bit, you know, if not all day. And I'm always looking at trees. I'm always evaluating soil, looking at waters, looking at habitat, wildlife, you know. So it is something that I I know not only talk the talk, but I walk the walk as well.
Yeah. Now, for parents, I'm assuming all the kids are in school right now. Excuse me. For parents who have kids who have an outdoor inclination to them, and I hope they've been listening for a while, because if they want to kind of steer their kids in a certain direction, you know, I hear this guy on the radio, on the old people's radio station. He talks about being the man for land. He talks about hunting, all the stuff that you like, and he seems to be having a good time. He's enjoying his life every day. He's making a good living. Boy, you like to be out in the woods a lot, don't you? You like to be out there hunting, and you've got a pretty good head on your shoulders. They can look at real estate as a career also, and I think that it just goes to show that diversified backgrounds, I think, make the best agents.
Yeah, absolutely. Having that background, you know, being in forestry, I think, helped me become the agent that I am today. Without this background, wouldn't be able to provide the services and experience that I provide.
So there you go. You're bringing a lifetime of experiences right to the table and helping folks find their dreams.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Turkeys. We got to go back to turkeys a little bit before we go back to real estate.
Oh, please do.
yes, yeah. You've been turkey hunting. You sent me some pictures. You're a successful turkey hunter, and you have more success in front of you now. But turkeys in general. Here's what I know about turkeys. When I was a kid growing up here in Wisconsin, we never saw turkeys. You just didn't see them at all. I lived down in the Fox Valley area. By the time I moved up here in 1987, I came to, I got as far as Merrill. Then I was in Merrill for a few years. It was 91 by the time I got to Eagle River. Had never seen a wild turkey in my life. Then I moved to Eagle River in 91. And they were all over the place. I'm thinking, where did these things come from? You never seen these. This must be an up north thing. I tell you what, people that want to bash the DNR, you know, they probably deserve it sometimes, but a real success story of game management in this state is turkeys.
Absolutely.
Probably the number one poster bird or animal for success with conservation here in Wisconsin. Would you agree with that?
I would definitely agree with that. And what some people may not know is a lot of our wild turkey that we have here up north came from Georgia as part of a trade program.
Okay.
Where some of our nice, big-bodied, hardy deer were traded to the state of Georgia for wild turkeys. So we traded some of our big deer for better genetics in Georgia, and I can, because I did live down there for a little bit and in the timber industry and work down there, and I can say that those genetics do very well in that southern climate. There are some monster bucks in Georgia that have Wisconsin genetics, vice versa. We have a lot of their turkeys up here.
And they have really taken to the land up here, because, like I said, they're all over there. You got to watch out for turkeys. One of the first times I saw this car, it was somewhere up in Vilas County, but I was at an auto body shop, and the front end was all messed up. I'm like, wow, that looks like it hit something pretty big. That's what happens when you hit a turkey square on.
Yeah, it's like a couple bowling balls.
Yeah, and boy, real damage. So, you do not want to have a collision with a turkey, that's for sure.
No, and they do like to, there's certain times of year they do like to be around the roads, you know, before winter and right after. They're picking those pebbles off of the side of the road to get crawl, gravel.
Sure.
And that's what they use to digest some of that really hard food that they have to survive off of through the winter.
So they're not dumb animals. That's the other misconception about turkeys. Are they dumb, or are they just scared? Or you hear stories that they're so dumb. Benjamin Franklin wanted the turkey to be our national emblem of this country, and then they said, well, turkeys are too dumb. We don't want to be known as a dumb country. So they said, okay, let's go with the bald eagle then. Done deal. So that goes, I mean, way back, hundreds of years. So are turkeys dumb?
You know, that's a debate. And turkeys definitely do dumb things. Anyone that has bird feeders in their yard and you know, we see turkeys doing some things that think, wow, that's not very smart. So are they dumb? Are they smart? Well, I think what they are is fearful of everything. Any situation that the birds have been in, and they've been in a threatening situation, near miss, you know, almost lost their lives, they learn from that. Now, you combine this extreme fear of everything, you're on the dinner plate of anything and everything out there in the woods, and you add in this extremely keen sense of sight and hearing, it doesn't take much to trigger that fear response. And they'll shut up, they'll bolt, they'll fly. So Are they smart? Are they dumb? I think that's a matter of personal opinion. I don't think they're super intelligent as far as being able to process thoughts, but they do have that memory and fear response combined with some crazy good eyesight and hearing.
So is that what makes them so sought after by hunters? Because it's a real test and a measurement of your skill as a hunter if you can bag one.
I think so, and that's why we're head to toe, full camouflage, face mask, gloves. You cover up every little shiny piece of skin or glasses or anything and try to blend in as best as possible. No unnatural movements, no unnatural sounds, because anything that triggers that fear response, they're gone.
Huh. And let's face it, they're tasty.
They are.
That's the other thing. Yeah, so many people go after turkeys because they taste good.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anything else on the turkeys? As far as, I know what I wanted to ask you. We've been talking about turkeys and deer hunting a lot in our radio conversations. I'm just curious, does that ever manifest itself into people calling you and saying, hey, Ben, I heard you talking on the radio. I want to have this conversation. I want you to hook me up with where I can be successful as a hunter, too. Does that happen?
Absolutely.
Oh, it does. Oh, good.
Happens quite a bit.
Okay.
You know, when folks go to my website, benthemanforland.com, and they see the pictures of harvested birds and fish and things like that, you know, I think right from the get-go, they feel like they can relate. You know, I'm living the life that a lot of folks from downstate in the cities want to live.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes, unfortunately, they have to wait till retirement. Other times, they say, hey, I can remote work. I'm going to call this guy up and say, where can I live the life that you're living and be connected via cell phone or high-speed internet so I can continue working. And it happens quite a bit.
You've been in the real estate business up here now, what you said, 14 years, right?
Well, real estate for six.
Six, okay.
Lived here for 14.
Got it. Even 6 years ago, Ben, I'm just wondering how many times you hear this as an agent. Boy, I've had my eye on this property for a long time. I wish I would have bought it 6 years ago. You must hear that a lot.
All the time.
So when's the best time to buy a piece of land?
Yesterday.
Yeah. How do you get people to do that? Not everybody's in the right position right now. So any advice on that? And instead of just putting it off and hoping it's there when you're ready, is there anything that people can do to get ready sooner?
Oh, my gosh. Establish a budget. Live by that budget. Save. Sell the junk around your house that you don't need.
Yeah.
You know, I know my wife and I tune in to... when the Triggs Trading Post,
sure.
You know, we listen to all the stuff that people are selling, and I get to thinking, oh, I've got this in the garage, I've got that in the garage, it's not doing me any good,
right.
It doesn't fit anymore,
it's getting
I don't
in the
use
way.
It anymore, you know, there's 50 bucks here, 100 bucks there, 500 bucks there, sell it, stick that in a savings account, an interest-bearing savings account, or a CD, you know, even if you put it into a six-month or one-year CD and say, when this matures, I'm going to draw this out, and that's my down payment on my land next year.
Yeah, and as having a goal that's in mind and you can see it, I used to do a thing called an image board. I put it up on my refrigerator, and I looked at what I wanted every single day. And I got to say, Ben, I'm doing very well with that. When I get something in my mind and I look at it all the time, it seems like I get it eventually because it's at the front of my mind and I'm doing what it takes to do that.
Yeah, you manifest it into reality.
Exactly. That's what it's called, manifesting it into reality. And so with that in mind, for people that are dreaming of their ideal piece of land, it's okay to start looking now, isn't it?
Absolutely.
How many times do people come out with you? Is it even okay? And I'm pretty sure most people don't want to waste your time, but they say, Ben, you know what? I'm not ready today, but can you show me what's available? Is that okay to do?
In a lot of cases, it is.
But sometimes
Yeah, we do have to tell folks, well, it's like a staircase. You know, you think about the top step is writing that offer on that property, you know, working towards obtaining that property. There's all those steps in between. You know, first of all, we've got to talk and make sure we get our finances established. You know, whether it's through a budget or we talk to a lender, get that pre-approval, you know. So, but sometimes, you know, the internet has made it so easy for us to hop on and see a property.
Ooh, we're all real estate experts now.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And, I like that. I want to go see it. Well, the thing folks don't maybe not realize is that we're not getting paid until there is a transaction
right.
closing. And in addition to that, we have probably dozens, if not more, of other people that we're working with to help them find their property. So to do a tour de homes, If the schedule is wide open and we don't have anything to do and we're working on building a relationship with that person, sure, you know, I'll spend some time, get to know the people and build that relationship. But when we have a lot of other stuff going on, it really is, let's take it step by step. And from the buyer's perspective, I don't want to show a property that they fall in love with. They decide, wow, we've got to have this property. So now what's the next step? Well, we need to make sure that we get your loan, you know, your lender lined up. And, well, by the time they do that, someone else has written an offer on that property and it's gone and they are heartbroken. So to avoid that heartbreak, that's another reason why we recommend, put the whole saving our time, you know, valuing our time, put that on a back burner. From an emotional standpoint for the buyer, that's why you want to be prepared to pounce, because it's the inventory is low. There's not a lot coming on the market right now. There's just over 1,000 properties on the entire MLS right now. So that's not a lot to pick from in a 25-county area.
Right.
So when that property comes on the market, you fall in love with it, you're ready to pounce, and you're the one that's beating out the competition to make that property yours.
And I'm glad you put it the way you did, because it's a different market right now, and the market conditions pretty much, they tell you how your day is going to be every single day.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so right now, the market is such that you've got serious folks, and so maybe someday down the line, some looky-loos will be welcome to come along for a ride, but generally speaking, you're a busy man.
It's tough, yeah.
Got it. What about new listings here? I see at the bottom of my list here something on River Street. Is this what you were alluding to earlier this morning?
It is.
Okay.
So this one, this is not. This is one, River Street, 1530 River Street, has been on the market now for maybe a couple of weeks.
Is that
now
here in town?
It's in Rhinelander.
Rhinelander,
it's on the west side of Rhinelander. So if you're familiar where, you know, K and 47 and River Street all come together, this is, gosh, not even a quarter mile from that intersection toward town. You'll notice it just where you come up the hill and you break over that 25-mile-an-hour speed limit, that's where this property is.
Okay.
So there's a nice little one-street subdivision that's your neighbor to the east. Nice, very nice homes there. And then to the west, no neighbors, none. Across the road to the south, no neighbors.
Nice.
So it's very private. You know, being right there in town, you would think, oh my gosh, I got people all around me and noise and all. No, it's remarkably quiet at this location. Partly, in fact, that in part that it's 4 acres, which is also pretty rare to see on the Rhinelander chain, have a 4-acre parcel. 3-bedroom, 2-bath house that actually, with the addition of a couple egress windows, you can add a couple bedrooms in the basement. Currently, what's being used as a workshop in the basement, it has plumbing there. It used to be a kitchen. It wouldn't take much to convert that back into a kitchen. So now you've got an in-law suite in the basement with a living room, bathroom, couple bedrooms, kitchen. And upstairs, you got all the same thing. The kitchen upstairs, oh my gosh, it's gorgeous. It's hickory cabinets, quartz countertops. You know, somebody might not like the paint color, or they might not like the siding. And this is where the investment comes into play, because we have it listed at $750, which is a little on the high end for what you typically see in the Rhinelander Tomahawk area.
Yep.
But it's also waterfront on a chain, huge, huge chain. So now, if maybe that house isn't perfect for me, well, I can look at this house and say, all right, Let's swap the siding out. There's nothing wrong with the siding, but let's swap it out with some rustic-looking cedar. So now I have a Northwoods cabin-looking structure, all right, rather than a family home-looking structure.
Okay.
And I kind of do a few things. You know, I add those egress windows. I convert that workshop back into a kitchen. And now we've got this Northwoods cabin-looking home, 2 levels, 2 complete different living spaces, 4 acres, Rhinelander flowage, sand frontage. This is what I like about it, is you've got sand frontage where your pier and your dock is. All right, so it's nice, beautiful swimming frontage.
Yeah. We got to wrap it up.
Oh, okay.
So how can people get a hold of you, Ben?
715-550-5683. or send an email to bendthemanforland@gmail.com.
I apologize. Time got away from me. I was into this conversation. All of a sudden, it's time for me. I got to sign off.
Okay.
Okay. We'll talk to you again soon, Ben.
Sounds good.
Ben the Man for Land, Parsons from RE/MAX Property Pros.